So thanks, Jean-Louis, for giving me the opportunity to talk to you today, and thanks to you for listening. My talk is more conceptual ideas I want to share with you regarding what Jean-Louis was mentioning in the morning, whether we need some soil engineering in urban settings, whether we can inbuild a carbon capture function in urban soils. So I want to talk about soil carbon sequestration, and it's important for me. I realized this during those 3 days. People often use the term soil carbon, but we should be aware there's soil inorganic and organic carbon. So if you want to communicate to the public, you should be aware they might be confused when one day you realize that the soil inorganic carbon is more important than the soil organic carbon. Urban expansion on a global scale releases carbon from the terrestrial ecosystems, because we know that when you take a look, many cities were founded along rivers and in coastal plains where the agricultural areas were. So on a global scale, up to 0.05 petagram or gigatons of carbon are released by urban expansion in the tropics alone from the biomass. And this is not negligible compared to what it's released at all, this 0.9 petagram carbon per year. So we should be aware that what's going on, even on a global scale, we have about 0.5% of area under urban settings that we have an impact on the Earth system with urbanization. However, it's a huge knowledge gap and science gap. We have not good science regarding the biogenic exchange of carbon in urban ecosystems. And one example here is urban expansion. We don't have good data globally on urban expansion. This is a recent project by the German Aerospace Center, looking in a high resolution with radar satellite images. When you see on the left this visible image, this optical image, compared to on the right, this is the city of this is Cologne here, and this is Bonn. What is hiding under this left picture in terms of built infrastructure? So just keep an eye on this, the outcome of this project. It's an ongoing project that will create very detailed maps, global maps on urban expansion. And previous analysis by Karen Seto and her colleagues indicated if we go in this path of converting non-urban areas to urban areas, what we will see in the future, especially processes or heavy urbanization, urban expansion is going on in Africa, in India and China, and then we may need by 2030 an area of the size of South Africa to house the population here. And a previous estimate by FAO indicated we need to feed the population by 2030 also an additional area the size of South Africa. So this is a huge challenge in the future, how to address the increase in urban expansion with the food production. And also for the US, some recent data from a study by Hamidio and Uing, looking at what has happened here from 2000 to 2010 for the large urbanized areas in the US. The compactness decreased and the sprawl increased. And from 1990 to 2011, the settlement area increased by 31% alone. And most of this land was previously in agricultural use, so probably we have released a lot of carbon from these areas. And for me, it's really important to communicate what is soil carbon sequestration related to climate change. The carbon that's emitted by our activities by burning fossil fuels, 60% of this will come back in a time scale of decades to centuries, but 40% will stay in the atmosphere for thousands of years and interact with the climate system. So if you want to use soil carbon sequestration for climate change mitigation, you have to take a look at fractions in the soil that stay there for thousands of years. And this is really a big challenge. And we know soil inorganic carbon, for example, has such long carbon residence times of more than 30,000 years for petrogenic carbonates. And also we see such fractions in terms of soil organic carbon, radiocarbon ages of longer than 10,000 years. And we also know for soil organic carbon, when you go deep in the profile, that the turnover times increase with increase in soil depth. And I don't have to repeat how important it is that we have soil organic carbon, that we have soil organic matter for many, many essential ecosystem services derived from soil in terms of nutrient cycle, primary production, water filtration, erosion control, soil strength, pollutant attenuation, and regulation of biodiversity. So it's really crucial also for an urban ecosystem to take a look at the carbon storage. I recently reviewed or updated the previous review. What do we know about global soil inorganic carbon stocks in urban areas? And here are some numbers for several cities. If you take a look at Shanghai, for example, in the top 20 centimeter, it's about 11.2 megagram of carbon as soil inorganic carbon. And deeper in the profile, they only started 0 to 10 and 1.6 to 1.8 meter, it's about the same amount. But you see also the high variability in terms of soil inorganic carbon stocks. And the previous study where I was involved in Stuttgart, Germany, we took a look at 0 to 30 and 3200 centimeter. And you find about between 12 and 82 megagrams of soil inorganic carbon in the top 30 centimeter, and between 1300 centimeter between 67 and 266 megagrams of soil inorganic carbon. And a study by Rainford in Newcastle upon Tyne indicated in a brownfield setting about 300 megagrams of soil inorganic carbon. So why is there soil inorganic carbon? One issue is, of course, the soil parent material, but otherwise we create a lot of demolition waste, and this is not often transported out of the area but deposited within the urban area. As this example from Stuttgart, Germany shows, in a this is a park soil profile here, with a lot of rubble and demolition waste accumulated over decades and centuries in this soil, and all those artifacts might contain also some carbonates. So the sources for soil inorganic carbon can be demolition waste like cement, concrete, limestone, chalk fragments, such as in Newcastle and Stuttgart. But for Shanghai, I showed some numbers for Shanghai, they hypothesized that it's the deposition of carbonate-rich groundwater that contributes to the soil inorganic carbon stock. And of course, we always have to be aware that soils might have already carbonate-bearing soil parent material. So can we protect those stocks? Of course, we can. If you want to use the urban ecosystem for climate change mitigation, we should keep those carbon fractions with long turnover times within the city. So we shouldn't physically remove this from an urban setting. We should reduce the losses by erosion, especially during construction activities, as you can imagine. And we should in situ use those excavated carbonate-containing soil parent material to redesign, to re-engineer urban soils. And we should give special attention to soils heavily affected in the past by demolition activities, and also those of arid and semi-arid regions, because they may naturally contain high contents of soil inorganic carbon. Can we enhance the soil inorganic carbon stocks in urban settings? We have to promote pedogenic carbonate formation, so having a productive vegetation cover and vegetation that produces high amounts of carbon, calcium and magnesium rich litter, maintain the structure that we transport this bicarbonate with the percolating water into deeper layers where we can have the pedogenic carbonate formation. And we can add demolition waste when we build up urban soils, such as artificial mortars, pasta, cement, concrete, and so on. And as the study from some studies from China have indicated, that irrigation with alkaline water might be an approach to enhance the soil inorganic carbon stocks. Now, moving on to the soil organic carbon stocks, some numbers for Shanghai again, from 0 to 20 and 20 centimeters and between 1.6 and 1.8 meter. There you see a clear depth distribution. I will show later a graph showing this, that we have lower amounts in deeper soil layers. And very high amounts were reported for cities and a small town in Russia, with huge amounts of organic carbon in the top 10 centimeter and in 10 to 1.5 meter. And of course, in an urban setting, you often have a high variability in those numbers. So we also saw this in this study in Stuttgart, Germany, where you see in such an urban profile, there was some carbon-containing material added in the past, and you see those dark layers here in deeper soil, deeper in the soil. So the sources for soil organic carbon are, of course, the vegetation, as we see here in the US. This study by Lull and others have shown how important it is to have the vegetation and productive vegetation cover as an input to soil organic carbon, but also waste material, construction debris rich in organic carbon. And for those cities and regions in Russia, they call it cultural layer because they deposited with time of development of an urban setting more and more of this material within the city. And also when you have soil material, soil parent material rich in soil organic carbon, you might find high organic carbon stocks in urban areas. So we can protect those soil organic carbon stocks, of course, again, by reducing what we remove from an urban setting, out of the urban setting, during, especially during construction activities. Actually, I haven't seen a study looking at what is the effect of this excavating soil, storing for a time, and then returning it back for filling up a soil profile, how much of this carbon was lost. There haven't been any studies as far as I'm aware of. And we should reduce losses by decomposition when we handle those soils in urban settings. And we also should use the in situ use of the excavated soil within the same urban area. And we should reduce the disturbance of the vegetation cover because this is the main input of soil organic carbon. We can enhance the soil organic carbon stocks, in my opinion, in urban areas by keeping the vegetation maintained to optimize net primary production by fertilization and irrigation, as seen for lawn soils. But just keep in mind, there is increasing evidence when you look at soil organic carbon that the major input is root-derived carbon. So you really have to take a look also at soil profiles and what are the roots doing, what is their turnover. We can also add organic amendments when we build soils in urban settings like biosolids, peats, compost, mulches, yard and food waste. And we heard it in the morning and just recently, we could also add black carbon in form of charcoal, biochar, soot, asphalt coal, ash and tar and so on. And I indicated in the introduction, when you go deep in the profile, the turnover time increases, so we can also bury, when we build up an urban profile, organic matter-rich material at deeper soil depths. And urban forestry is an opportunity to enhance the soil organic carbon stocks in urban settings. So if you take a look at the situation in Shanghai, for example, comparing the top 20 centimeter to 1.6 to 1.8 meter, you see the clear decrease in soil organic carbon stock with depth, or by comparing those two layers, but you still have appreciable amounts of soil inorganic carbon also in deeper layers. And for those two regions in cities and small town in Russia, you see how important it is to take a look at soil profiles when you want to assess soil carbon storage, soil inorganic and organic carbon storage. And unfortunately, there are not good data on urban soil carbon stocks across the US. The rapid carbon assessment by USDA didn't estimate the carbon storage of urban areas. But please try to use Zurgo and Statsco data to estimate how much is stored in soils in the U.S., in urban soils in the U.S. in terms of organic carbon, and it was between 45 megagram in the top 30 centimeter and 85 in the top meter. However, he admitted that the database was really weak, so he had some issues. For example, he had to give a zero value to paved areas, but we know from estimates by Pouliot and studies by Rasiti that between 33 and 58 megagrams of carbon are buried under paved areas, may be buried under paved areas to 1 meter depth. And he also had to use the back calculation from soil organic matter 2 organic carbon by assuming that solar matter consists of 58% of carbon, 58% of carbon, but this is under discussion whether this is a true value. So my research needs would be, we need more soil carbon data, especially on a global scale for those urban areas where we might see dramatic changes in the future, like in Africa, Asia, Latin America, Oceania, and also in the US, because the database is really weak. We need to share my, or to give some input. We need to have long-term studies whether we can enhance the urban soil carbon stocks. And one opportunity is, of course, in the north, central, northeast region, are the abundant vacant lots that we have there, to try whether we can build in this urban, the soil carbon capture function in those soils. And most important, we need to raise the awareness among the different stakeholders about the importance of urban soils, urban soil carbon, for the well-being of the urban dwellers. So we need more data, we need to raise the awareness, and we as soil scientists, we need to be involved in those planning processes to have an input. And there are some signs of hope. Just briefly an example here from Columbus, Ohio, where I'm at OSU now. This study from 2012, Columbus 2050, Columbus has to make room for more than 200,000 people in the next decade, so they project that it's strongly growing. It's about 900,000 at the moment. The word soil appears one time in this document because, among other things, the rich soil attracted the pioneers more than 200 years ago. But even then, between 2000 and 2010, more than 100 square miles or 26,000 hectares of agricultural land in central Ohio were converted for development. But they also give some indication how this should may continue in the future. We should look at the most of the population growth and the new economic investment should take place within areas of existing development. This is a strategy we know for some time in Europe, for example. And we have to keep those rural and natural areas and their soils, because this belongs to the region. Thanks for your attention.
Thank you very much, Alice. So we have time for one question. Rich, yeah, question. You showed some data on inorganic carbonate content. You know, not urban soils, but there's a lot of that in the course.
This is a good point. Unfortunately, they separate it to the 2 millimeter sieving and only look at the smaller than 2 millimeter.
And that's the same thing with our carbon content. You know, we've got pieces of asphalt and pieces of coal ash. Yeah. Them and throw them away.
Yeah. What methods are you planning to use for black carbon estimation?
I'm not sure.
You are aware there is no quantification. It's really only a rough estimation.
Yeah. Thank you very much for that.